everywhere, God. Your gospel is getting out. Lord, we thank you for providing us those opportunities, but there's so much more needed. So Lord, encourage us, motivate us, challenge us today about the need of the gospel and how we need to get out there, and that there is such a work that needs to be done. But Lord, if we do not bathe it in prayer, we're basing on our own strength. Father, turn us into a praying church, praying for the souls that are lost, praying for our neighbors, praying for our coworkers, and that we would go forward in your power and your might. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So again, I'm going to flash up some numbers up, because here's the point number one. I'm going to talk about the power to preach the gospel. The very first things we need to do is we need to see the need. We need to see how urgent the need is for us to share the gospel. You know, some people, when they're just going about their life, they're not too concerned about their health. You know, they'll put down a whole pizza by themselves. They'll watch the Patriots. You know, when you don't care about your health, you do weird things. But when you see that there's a problem, you go to the doctor's office, say, hey, you got this condition, your heart stuff is not good, you need to take care of that, you need to do something about it, then you get a little bit more serious about it, because you understand that there is a purpose. And so I'm going to show you all these different numbers. No, there's not going to be a pop quiz. Don't feel like you have to write them all down. But the point of these numbers is to impact you and show you how great the need is. So excuse me as I blaze through these, but I want us to see the need. Religion in New Hampshire. 59% of New Hampshire claims to be a form of Christianity. Now, 26% of that are Catholics. Gospel preaching church? No. What about all the other ones? Only 13% of Christians would claim to be evangelical, meaning they believe that salvation is by faith alone, that they believe the word of God and such. But when I look through the list of the churches in there, there's Lutherans, there's Episcopalians, there's all these different ones which do not preach the gospel. And so I can't comment down on a hard number. If I want to be really exact, I would probably say 4% of people in New Hampshire go to a church to hear the gospel. But I want to give you a range, and so I'm going to be generous. I'm going to say 5 to 10%. So we're talking about 5 to 10% of people living in New Hampshire probably go to a church that preaches the gospel. Again, just because they have a good name on their church doesn't mean it preaches the gospel. And so it's really tough to come down an exact number on this. But we're talking about 5 or 10% that has a chance of either of hearing or believing in the gospel as presented in the Bible. That means that 90 to 95% of New Hampshire people don't believe or have not heard the gospel according to Scripture. 90 to 95%. What's the population of New Hampshire? Again, this isn't exact, but it's close. The projected population of New Hampshire for the year 2020 is 1,371,000 people. The largest city in New Hampshire is Manchester, slightly over 100,000, and the second is Nashua with 50,000. Okay, trying to gauge where our population is. That means that 1,233,900 people to 1,302,550 people don't believe or have not heard the gospel in New Hampshire. That means this: out of every 20 people you meet, either 18 or 19 of them most likely have not heard or believe in the gospel. 1 to 2 people in every 20 people you'll meet might have heard, might believe the gospel. There's a need all around us. You probably cannot see this. Oh, you can kind of see that. I can't see that. I went through our contact list, and I took the majority to include everyone involved in there. But I took the names of the cities where we live, how many of our people live there, and then what's the approximate population of those towns. And I want you to find the town you live in, okay? So you can find the town you live in. I live in Franklin. Don't make jokes. I live in Franklin. There's about 8,700 people in my town. If I take 90 to 95% of them, that means 7,800 to 8,200 people in my neighborhood don't know or don't believe in the gospel. And how many of us are in Franklin? There's 29. What's 7,800 divided by 29? A lot. Now, I know there's other Christians in the area. There's other churches in the area. And I'm not saying we're the only church that we're not the only one who preaches the gospel. I know there are other ones out there. But we are called to reach our town, our Jerusalem. That's not the actual city of Jerusalem. That's our Jerusalem that we're supposed to reach. These are the needs around us, where we live. And again, if 90 to 95% of the people living around us have not heard or do not believe in the gospel, that's why we're there. There is a massive need for us to reach the gospel. Now let's take this on a bigger scale. Talking about the whole world. In 2018, it was guessed that the population of the whole world was 7.6 billion. I think right now we're about 7.7, maybe 7.8. With COVID, we're probably still 7.7, 7.8. You can't trust the media these days. But you look at the population of the world, so I'm using this number. It was projected that in 2020, 60,200,000 people would die. Now, that's a really big number, so I try to break it down. Kind of imagine that would be all of the state of California and all of the state of New York combined. If you could take those two states, that's how many people die in the world every year. Let's break it down a little bit. How about every month? 5,016,666 die per month. If you took the city of Houston, multiplied times two, or you took the city of Sydney, Australia, that's how many people die a month. Let's break it down even more. How many people die a week? 1,157,000 die every week. That's all of the state of Rhode Island. Rhode Island is pretty small, but still, we're talking about a whole state. Every week, a whole state of Rhode Island is passing away. Still big numbers. Let's break it down. Every day, 164,000 people die. That's Manchester and Concord combined. Every day, this world loses a Manchester and Concord. How about per hour? 6,800. That's the city of Plymouth. Every hour, the city of Plymouth dies. 115 deaths per minute. That's about our Sunday morning upstairs congregation, not including the kids downstairs, just upstairs. Every minute, 115 deaths in the world. That averages out to about 1.9 deaths per second. Every second, two people are dying and spending eternity somewhere. And in New Hampshire, 90 to 95% of them are going to hell. Folks, there is a need. There is a harvest in front of us, and it is passing away. But not only is that harvest passing away, but what about this? The birth rate in the world. 140 million births in 2020. Basically, all the country of Russia. So every year we add another Russia to the world. Per month, 11,700,000. All the state of Ohio. Every month there's that many kids born. How about per week? 2,700,000. That's about the city of Chicago. Every week there's over 2,207,000 kids born a week. How many per day? 385,000, about a third of New Hampshire. Every day, about a third of New Hampshire is born into this world. Per hour, 16,000 births per hour. That's the city of Laconia. 267 births per minute. That's the high school of Franklin. That's about 4.4 births per second. And so there is a field ready unto harvest that is going away, but it is growing over twice as fast, too. There is a massive need. And again, you take that and apply that to New Hampshire, 90 to 95% of those people would die and go to hell. The need is great. Every second, 1.9 people die and begin eternity somewhere. Every second, 4.4 children are born and begin the path towards eternity. Eternity is impacted by 6.3 people every second, whether by beginning their eternity in heaven or hell, or beginning the path towards eternity here on earth. There is a massive need, and it's growing and going away and growing every second. How important is the need for us to share the gospel? How important is it for us that everyone does it? If I went back to the charts, we have one person who lives in Concord, and they're trying to reach, I forget what the number was, like 36,000 people. That's a big job for one person. That's why we need to gather together and work together to share the gospel. Because one person can't do it on their own. Us alone, we can't do it on our own. We need the other church, the other Christians to make sure they're staying up and sharing the gospel too. And that's why we're providing opportunities like evangelistic service. Here's a chance to invite all these people out to hear the gospel. But that's not it. We need to go. We need to go out because God has placed us in our places, at our work, with our family to share the gospel with them. That is our mission. That's why we are here. The one I want to start off is the power to preach the gospel starts with seeing the need. There is a massive, massive need around us. And I know I threw all of these numbers, and when you're talking about a million, I don't understand that. I could barely understand 10. But when you talk about millions and billions and how every second eternity is impacted by 6.3 people every second, do we see the need around us? Do we see how important it is for us to make sure we're doing the Lord's work? See the need. Second point, the power of preaching the gospel. It starts with seeing the need, see those who are around us, but then hear the call. Has God called us to share the gospel? Has God called us to represent him? Absolutely. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ," and catch this, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Here's the call. Here is God calling out to his people, says, hey, the way that I reconciled you, how I sent my son to die on the cross for your sins, and how that by accepting this gift of salvation, that you as the enemy and me as God have been brought together, has been reconciled, that good work that God has done in you, now you go and share with the world. You go and share with those who are around you. Why? I have given you the ministry of reconciliation. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to go, we have to make people get saved. That's not our job. As we continue down the text, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. It's not our job to save people. It's our job to tell people how they can get saved. It's our job to be a messenger. Look at the following verse, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Someone tell me, what is an ambassador? What do they do? What do they look like? They represent someone else. So we want to talk to, oh, they're in the news, China. So if we want to talk to China, we have a Chinese ambassador who's an American ambassador to the Chinese. And we tell them some things, like, hey, this is what we want to do, you know, we're going to do these things, so you go tell China that. You go get deliver the message. It's not the ambassador's job to make China do the thing, do whatever it is that they're talking about. They're the messenger. And God calls us his ambassadors, that we're the ones who are sent. We are sent to this world to deliver the message given to God. And what is that message? Is that you can be reconciled. That you have sinned against God. And you are worthy of that judgment just as I was. But the God who sent me has reconciled. He has brought me in a relationship with him by the blood and by the cross of Jesus Christ. And that he has saved me and he has changed me and I am a new creature. And now my life's purpose, my mission in life, my goal, my calling is to go and tell you how you can have the same thing happen in your life. That call is not given to just the pastors. That call is not given to those who has the gift of evangelism. That call has been given to every person who's been reconciled to God. And folks, if you're saved, that's you. That's me. We all bear the burden. We all bear the mission of sharing the gospel, of sharing the word of reconciliation. We are God's representatives here on earth to the world. Our message is to tell the world about reconciliation. And that message, God has imputed the world's sins on Jesus Christ. What Pastor Andrew talked about this morning, how God has paid the penalty. The reason that God is mad at the world is because of their sin, but he didn't stay mad. He solved the problem. He sent Christ. And that now the world does not have to die in their sin, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are messengers of that message. Again, it's not our job to convert the souls. It's our job to share the message of how they can be converted. And I don't know for you, but this gives me, takes the pressure off me. Because again, I don't have to sit there, and tie the person to the chair and like, come on, you need to get saved. Come on, you need to get... No, that's not how we do it. We come in love and we share the gospel. Hey, it's like, I've been in the exact same spot where you've been. I was doomed because of my sin, and I am just as guilty as you are, but God has forgiven me, and God wants to forgive you. That's our message. That's the message that we are all called to share. So God has imputed the world's sin on Christ, but also God wants to impute the righteousness of Jesus on those who repent. There's hope. There's hope. You know what Chad said about his friend up in Berlin? He can't save himself. He's right. He can't save himself. That's why Jesus paid it all. That's why Jesus came, because we can't save ourselves. It's on him. First, to preach the power to preach the gospel, we have to see the need. We have to be aware of the need that's around us. Because if we don't care about the need, why would we go and tell? See the need. Hear the call. Understand this, that this is obedience here. It's not a suggestion. It's like, oh, well, if you might get the opportunity, if the clouds are right and the sun's beaming through the... No. Everywhere we go, God has called us to be ambassadors. Now, we live that out. We live as ambassadors of Christ, but we also have to tell them about the gospel of Christ. So we see the need. We hear the call, but this is my favorite part. Go in power. God did not leave us to do this on our own, because he knows us. He knows that we are weak. How do you guys get afraid when you meet a stranger? You can raise your hand. All right, let's be honest now. All right. Yeah. I get nervous too. All right. People don't believe this about me, but I used to be extremely shy. I was extremely shy. I couldn't talk to anyone when I was a kid, and I just got, I don't know what God did to me. God did something. Now I can't talk to people. That's a working of God in my life. But we have that thing. And also, think about this. We have the idea, hey, I want to talk to Andrew about how bad of a person you are. I want to go to Andrew and tell him, it's like, you know what? If you die today, you're going to hell. What a great uplifting message for the day. Right? That's the fear that we get. That's why we get anxious. Like, oh, I got to talk about their sin, and I got to make them feel bad. Yeah, it's awkward. But when you see the need, it's worth the cost. Again, I think I've used this before, but I think of Dr. Doan in his doctor's office doing doctor things. And he's talking to a patient, and his patient finds out they have, like, stage 4 cancer. Now, Dr. Doan could just say, oh, you're good. And the patient's going to leave feeling all happy, right? But guess what? That patient needs to know he has a serious problem. But what's awesome is that there is a solution to the problem. And then he can advise them about the treatments they can do and such. Same thing with us. The world has a problem. And we need to make them aware of the problem. But the problem is we get so concerned about the problem, we forget the solution. Because the solution is Jesus Christ. The solution is that the price is paid. The solution is you don't have to stay in your sin, that you can be forgiven, that God loves you and God cares for you. And it's Jesus. But God has given us power. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and starting at verse 46. Luke 24, 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You see how we get the call again? How Christ says, I've paved the way. I rose again from the dead. Now I want you to tell the world and preach about repentance and remission of sin, that they will turn from their sin and that they can be saved from their sin. But to do that, I am going to send power from on high. Now don't get ahead of me, because I know some of you are like, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. We're going to get there, okay? But stay with me. God is going to send us power on high. What is power? All right, I'm not looking for a very deep answer, but what is power? Someone tell me. What's power? Ability. Boom. Ability. Excellent. That God is going to send us ability to help with the sharing of repentance and remissions of sin. He doesn't leave us alone. Now we get to Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. This is where we get to see the power from on high come down. We get to see what it does and what does it look like. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we are born? What happened here? The Spirit of God descended. The Holy Spirit that God sent came down and gave these people the ability to speak to all these foreigners and They were given the ability to speak in a language that they can communicate what? The gospel. They were given the ability by the Spirit of God to share the truth that God sent them to do. Isn't it awesome how God gives us a task to do, he gives us the tools to do it, and he gives us the fuel to fuel the tools to do the job? You see how it's not on us except to simply obey, to go and share, to go and tell. Now, jump down to verse 37. What do we see here? Now, when they heard him, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. You tell me, is this a work of man? You're talking about 50 days earlier. These are the people who are probably yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And now
they're repenting of their sins and they're turning to him saying, this is my Lord, my God. This is no work of man. This is the work of God and his Holy Spirit in us. And who's preaching? Peter. 50 days earlier, who denied Christ 3 times. And then a couple weeks later, after he saw the risen Christ, he said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go fishing. And Jesus goes after him again. He says, Peter, I got a job for you to do. You can't just go about doing whatever you want. I got a job for you to do. And I'm going to send the Spirit of God to help you and do that, to enable you to be able to share the gospel. Question, do we have this same Spirit? Yes. Can this same Spirit save 3,000 souls the week we have our evangelistic services? Yes. Where are we going to fit them? I don't know. But this is the same God. This is the same Holy Spirit working within us. Now, yeah, there's different ways that they work according to times and during different such, but we have the same power working in us to be a witness. What's the common phrase? Well, I don't know what I'm going to say. The Spirit of God does. John 14 through 16 tells us all about the Spirit and how he will remind us of the words of his truth. You ever had that happen where you're in the situation and then just this verse pops up? That's the Holy Spirit working in you, guiding you, showing you where to go. You had that one person on your mind, you're praying about them. Lord, give me a situation, give me a time where I can share the gospel. And then it happens. That's the Spirit of God working. Why? Because God wants to save people. And he wants to use us to share that message with them. And he gave us his Spirit so that we can do it. We can't lose. And again, if God can save 3,000 souls on one day with a guy like Peter preaching, what do you think God can do with a week of evangelistic services here at Hill Village Bible Church? Do you know why we don't think that way? We lack faith. We lack faith and room, but mostly faith. Our God's the same God. He still does the same work. The Spirit, the power from on high, was sent to the believers. They began to witness about Jesus, especially Peter. See the power of the Spirit working. Isn't that awesome? We have that same power. It's in us. We can go and be a witness. But look at the power that is in us, how the Spirit helps us. 2 Timothy 1:2, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know how when you get into an argument or a confrontation or you start talking and you want to make your points, but then you get all confused? Okay, God works in us to give us clarity of thought, a sound mind, to share his gospel. God can give us the love, because there's some people it's not easy to share the gospel with. You know, maybe we think they're filthy or they're too clean, or maybe we think they like that football team, they should like this football team, you know. But guess what? God can overcome that because he gives us a spirit of love. And then we don't have a spirit of fear. We have no reason to fear. We can go and share the gospel. And you know what? The worst that could happen is they might say something mean about us. Who cares? I know we have feelings, and I know that's important and all. But guess what? I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven. So I can share the gospel. And they can make fun of me. And again, I'm not trying to turn this a joke, but they lose. Because I know where I stand. I know where I'm going. And here I am trying to share the gospel with them and how they can have hope. And they're rejecting God, not me. And in history past, and I think in what's about to come up in the future, we're going to suffer persecution for sharing the gospel. Again, who cares? I win. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I know that this is easy to say, but God has given us his Spirit that there is no reason for us to fear, but that we can go forward in power, in love, and sound mind. That's the power that's in us. That's the power to preach the gospel. Matthew 10:19-20, but when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in the same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. He's talking about The disciples that were sent to go preach and say people are going to accuse you, they're going to be against you, but don't be worried. God can give you the words to say. When we're going around and saying, well, I don't know what I'm going to say, you're doubting God. Because God has promised to give us the words to say. And you know what? Sometimes saying, I don't know, is the perfect answer. Because you create another opportunity to talk to them again. Because I'm going to study it. I'm going to look it out. I'm going to ask my pastors. I'm going to, you know, read my Bible and find the answer, and I'll tell you. But yet we get so afraid when God has given us his promises that we have this power that's in us. Acts 4:29-31. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Church, what have we been praying for this whole year? Praying for a bold witness, Acts 4:31. Praying for a bold witness. Can God give us boldness to share the gospel? Yes. Because he has. Because we know our message is true. Because we know eternity matters. Because we know we have the Spirit of God working in us. Folks, we have such awesome power within us that God has given us through his Holy Spirit so that we can preach the gospel. Yes, the Holy Spirit guides us in truth. The Holy Spirit guides us in our daily walk. The Holy Spirit helps us to grow in faith. That is very true. But also the Spirit is given to us so we can be witnesses. Because we are right. We cannot do it on our own strength. We cannot. We're going to fail. We're going to shy away. But we have the Spirit of God working in us, empowering us to be witnesses for him. So the power to preach the gospel. First thing is we got to see the need. And the need is all around us. We need to be missionaries in Bristol and Franklin and everywhere else. That's our mission field. You are our church's missionaries sent out to those fields to share the gospel. And folks, we get to do it together. We get to come back together on Wednesday nights and share prayer requests. We get to come here during Disciples Hour and share about how what has happened and how to pray. We get to do this together. Isn't that awesome? Hear the call. It is every person's responsibility to share the gospel. It is not just the pastors. It's not just people gifted with evangelism. It's not just the certain people, the super spiritual people in the church. It is everyone's responsibility to share the gospel. And we get to go in power. Not by the power of our might, but by the power of his might. And we can go in confidence knowing we have God's Spirit working within us. We can't lose. And so I hope this is a good reminder for us that we need the power to preach the gospel, see the need, hear the call, and go in power. For the last 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you, I'll leave that up, to pray with the person in your pew, go pray with someone about the ones you're trying to invite to the evangelist.